The mistake he made was that instead of issuing the warning shot into the air, he shot on the ground and the bullet
ricocheted
and then hit people 100 meters away, two innocent people. They were not connected with the dispute and they died. That's what sent him to jail. So it could happen to anybody. Because of that, my...
A very lovely afternoon to all of you. Welcome aboard to Game Plan on 99.7 Joy FM, hits 103.9 FM. Happy Eid al-Mubarak to everyone celebrating today. This afternoon, you're moving around, you're taking care of your slaughtered cow or sheep while listening to the show. You're delivering food, meat, anywhere. May the Almighty Allah accept your prayers, accept all our prayers. Guide us to the straight path and make all of those sacrifices worth it. Remember a Christian friend today. Deliver some meat to them. Deliver rice to them. Yeah, for the information of every Christian listening today, this is the big salah. This is the meat salah. Call your Muslim friend. If they lie to you, confront them. This is Eid al-Adha, where they sacrifice all the big cows and share meat. It's not the next one. It wasn't the previous one. It is this one. All right, welcome to the show. We've got a lot to cover today. The show is proudly brought to you by Betway as well. As Patreon saw, we'll tell you a bit more about them a little later on the show. But we've got a few issues to get into. This weekend is the last round of matches in the Ghana Premier League. Given the issues that have confronted us in the penultimate round of matches, what will this weekend look like? We'll also look at the issues coming out of the Ghana Boxing Authority and the committee set up to investigate the death of Oluro Anju, the Nigerian boxer who died. Now, the members of the GBA have come out swinging, accusing the committee members of witch hunt and what have you. So quite a lot to get through. And you heard in one of the intro voices from Amin Lamte that the committee invited people who had a grudge to pick against the GBA. And he says he, who was a ring announcer, was not even invited on the day. We'll get a bit of reaction from the committee members and people close to this investigation. Atana Arto will join us on the show to put a bit more perspective on the issues there. Now, we've exclusively obtained copies of the committee report, and we can tell you some of the recommendations that, but the biggest one that's got the GBA shaking is that the committee has recommended the disbandment, a dissolution of the Ghana Boxing Authority, and recommended that an interim body be put in place to run Ghana boxing until such a time when the system has been cleansed of all the fraud that they say had characterized the running of the authority over the last few years. And some of the things that they uncovered as well could have, according to the committee, prevented the death of the boxer if all the necessary things were done. For example, they say that the GBA did not conduct their own independent medical test of the boxer before the fight, and perhaps that if they did that work, they would have noticed that he wasn't healthy enough to fight. Also, a contract did not exist between the boxer and the promoters of the fight, or at least the GBA did not insist on it. So there's that. And also, even when the fight was allowed to go on, the GBA did not have qualified medical doctors on standby. This is a matter that Nathaniel Atto raised the last time we had Amin Lamte and him on the show. And that's what the committee themselves say they have found. And that's what they've written in that report. So quite a lot of breakdowns of necessary protocol that has led to this tragedy. The body of the boxer is still here in Accra. And the GBA say that they've done a lot, and they are close to repatriating the body back to Lagos. So we'll get into that particular issue as well here on the show. And then today we have a big debate, the Ballon d'Or debate. Lamine Yamal and his Spain side yesterday crashed France again. Well, it looked like a crashing until a little later in the game when France almost staged an impossible comeback. But it's kind of shifted the tails a little bit in the Ballon d'Or debate. Has Lamine Yamal's name entered the fray? Before this game yesterday, I think Lamine Yamal probably had taken a bit of a backseat. And it was mainly between Kylian Mbappe and Ousmane Dembele. And now, Lamine Yamal has firmly entered the chat. Where do you stand between those three? Who should win the Ballon d'Or? What would it depend on from now till September or so? So we'll get into that debate. Anyway, Danny Kay is here with me. Nathaniel Atto, CTO for Philip Atrum, joining via Zoom. And guys, welcome to the show. Danny Kay, how you doing, man?
My man.
You all right?
Eid Mubarak.
Thank you very much.
Eid Mubarak.
Yes. Mr. Atto, how you doing?
Great to be here. Great to be here. Eid Mubarak. And it is our prayer that the Almighty Allah will receive all these sacrifices and make them good for the people and reflect all the sacrifices they have made in accordance with His directives. Thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Atto, you've turned your phone. So now your image, you are pointing. Aha, thank you. your head was pointing towards Kumasi. Sicho Fair Philip Atrum, my friend, how you doing?
Shoo.
Ah, Boleman. Boleman. Boleman.
Hey, he's very ready to fight.
What a guy.
Sorry, Eid Mubarak, man. Eid Mubarak to you, friends. I'm using you to reach all our Muslim listeners and Muslim friends across the country. Enjoy the celebrations and may all your heart desires be met.
Yes, thank you.
You pray and then focus on the day.
Thank you, my friend. Listen, we don't have a lot of time. It's holiday edition. The show is live and interactive. We are streaming live on X Spaces. So if you're watching us there, do leave us a message on all the issues we'll be talking about. Leave us a message there. Use the hashtag game plan. I'll read that message for you. I want to know your thoughts on quite a number of issues, but mostly the Ballon d'Or race. Kylian Mbappe, Ousmane Dembele, and Lamine Yamal. Where's your money at? Who's your money on? As far as the Ballon d'Or race is concerned, I want to hear from you. But Nathaniel Atto, I want us to begin with you because there's a number of issues for us to go through. One of them is this. This is, I mean, Lamti, last time you were on the show with him, it turned into a bit of an argument because he didn't quite agree with some of the things you were saying, and you had a massive issue with a lot of the things he was saying. And that was before the committee was put in place. Now the committee's concluded its work. They've made some recommendations, submitted it to the sports ministry. The sports ministry says they've accepted the recommendations and they will implement them. We have received a copy of a report. We've seen some of the recommendations, some of the things that they discovered, and what have you. Now the GBA have come out swinging. I mean, Lamptey, who's also the spokesperson or the communications director, he granted an interview to our sister station, Asampa FM, 2 days ago, saying that the committee did a shoddy work and that they were out to get members of the GBA. Specifically, he says he does not understand why he, who was a ring announcer and also a member of the GBA, was never invited by the committee, and somehow people who have grudged to pick with the GBA were invited. For the benefit of our listeners and for anyone who just tuned in, this is Amin Lamptey and what he had to say about the committee's findings.
Me, I'm the ring announcer. I'm the communication director of Ghana Boxing Authority. Nobody invited me to the committee.
You don't mean it.
You are asking me, I don't mean it. I'm telling you, I was not invited. And the committee should not invite me. I am the ring announcer.
Yeah.
I am closer to the scene more than anybody.
Of course. We have video, no
chat. I was the one going on radio and TV explaining what I saw. I'm a Muslim. I can't lie. I'm a Muslim. I've been in boxing for years. Not only in Ghana, even outside Ghana. Do you know the individuals who were invited? Moses Formwini. he has a bone to pick with the GBA.
But
president.
Was he there on the night?
He was not there. Remember, Moses Fomwini. And then number two, you have Kaloko, a trainer, a GBA board member. He was not at the boxing on no. And then Roger Bano, he's not at the scene. Wambaho. And then you have Boham. Obi a audit GBA call Yoko. Onokrapo niho fano ofie. He was invited.
Your friend.
You understand what I'm saying? There are a lot of individuals who were invited who were not close to the scene.
I mean Lamte. Hey, back home in stone. Kobe, so who did the interview, you know? Kobe, hey. Who make sure you watch it? I said, but what's he there?
Young fellow. Hey, Kobe. No, he's one of
I have a Kobe Stone. anyway, Mr. Ato. You had Zicho, he didn't laugh. Kobe Stone, he needs beaties.
No, I don't like the way it give your man him. it's a good skill to have an interview. You want the person you interview to believe in a story.
It's gaslighting. So it's gaslighting.
No. Oh, I don't want to use gaslighting. I want to use encouraging.
I don't subscribe to this style of interview. It's like he's just patronizing Amin Lamte. He says something, say, you don't mean it. He means it. No, he doesn't mean it. Say,
he's shocked.
Mr. Ato, you follow this matter quite closely. Listen, Amin Lamte's allegations are quite serious. He mentioned specific names of people that were invited, and he says all of those people have a bone to pick with the GBA, and that is his basis for saying that it was a witch hunt and that they did an extremely poor job, even though, as you and I have established, the committee uncovered some grievous issues at the GBA. Your thoughts overall on what has happened in the last few days?
All right, so thank you for the time. Fent, and to all of our listeners, good afternoon, and Eid Mubarak to everybody. Now, let's place a few things.
Guys,
let's place the issues in perspective. I remember very well that a couple of weeks ago, I had an extensive conversation with the president of the Ghana Boxing Authority, and we had reason to speak about that interview that you referred to, or that conversation we had on this matter some weeks ago, on this particular matter. Let me state once again before I start, and I wish, and I'm glad that we're streaming this live on the internet so that reference will not be a problem. Let me state this in no uncertain terms. We are having this conversation because there has been the death of an athlete. That changes the conversation completely. Nobody is interested in attacking the person of any individual, and that has to be made very clear. Over here at Joy Sports, we have never, ever gone along the tangent of doing agenda, as they may put it in quotes, and the records are there for all to see. What we wish to do with this matter is to make sure that we cover every possible angle of the conversation. The reason why, we will play a soundbite from the communications director of the Ghana Boxing Authority and also give them an opportunity to come and answer to some of the allegations that are made. Let's now get to the substantive matter. And I must say that on the grounds of professionalism, we will all have private conversations with our colleague, because he did not act professionally, and this is a problem. He did not act professionally because When somebody is on a program and you're interviewing the person, it is important that you allow the person to make their points without spiking the conversation, patronizing them, or trying to add to what they're saying. What you are doing is to elicit information from the person. So with that one, I would have to have a background conversation, and I normally would like to give a lot of feedback in the background. Number two, it is very, very sacrilegious for anybody to use the kinds of words that Muhammad Amin Lamte has used on the committee that was duly appointed to work on this matter. If you want me to go through the list of persons, and I mean the list of respected persons on this list, on this committee, I will go through them. The head of this organization started boxing at a time when we were all in our infant years. They have contributed to the sport, and this is in direct reference to Ambassador Major, Amaka Amatefio, retired. This is a man who has served very diligently at the bar, a respected member of the bar of this country, a man who is of great and respectable character. And his work doesn't only end within the realms of boxing or within the brackets of boxing, but also other sporting disciplines, because at a certain point in our history in this country, he served as our sports minister. The man came to the table, or was duly appointed to lead that very important table of inquiry, because of the contributions he's made, his experience, and also his stature and his respect. Who wants to attack anybody? Who wants to attack anybody's person? I think it is very sacrilegious and very, very disrespectful for anybody to refer to these persons in those kinds of terms. Let us remember that there's another member of that committee who served two terms as the president of the Ghana Boxing Authority, duly elected. He had the opportunity by our constitution to go for a third term, but decided to step aside so that others can get the opportunity to lead. And then we go, and then somebody can go and refer to the work they have done as what? As shabby or as what? That is very, very disrespectful. And people must be called to order when they make these kinds of comments. I am not a member of the committee, but I take offense on their behalf. Because guess what? If you mention every single member of that committee, we know what they have done, we know their competence levels, and we know what they have delivered regarding the mandate they were given. Now, let me say something here. The committee that is led by Ambassador Major Amakai Amatefio, retired, is one which is a human institution, as we can all see. Therefore, in the conduct of their work, no matter how professional they decide to be, there may be some, mistakes here and there. And so in referring to a mistake, we can talk about the invitation that the ring announcer and the communications director of the Ghana Boxing Authority was expecting from them. That did not happen. Now, he also goes to make reference that other persons who were not there on the night were invited to the committee. And the question we want to ask are, when you look at the recommendations, does it look like it was only the incident we were talking about? Does the communications director of the Ghana Boxing Authority not have a simple knowledge of reading English and understanding that this committee, based on the incident that has happened, are looking at the scope of the work is looking beyond the incident, because allegations have been made about our processes. Therefore, it is important to get people who have institutional memory and people of great respect in the industry who have given off a certain level of service to it to come and contribute to the conversation. And so you cannot refer to Mr. Moses Fuamweni in those terms. You cannot refer to Mr. Yofi Buham in those terms. Let us not also go along the lines of referring to people who are taken away by infirmity. Is it to say that Mr. Yofi Boham, if he's indisposed, does not have a mouth and does not have a voice and is incoherent, excuse my language, to the extent that he cannot contribute to a committee that has invited him to ask him questions about the sport of boxing? Let us be reasonable, for crying out loud.
let us start looking beyond our selfish interest and what goes to project us as the best people or the best to have ever happened to boxing in Ghana. We have seen better days. Guys, you remember that the couple of weeks ago when I came to contribute to this show, I told you that this is one of very few times that you see me as an individual comment in this way and talk about these issues of Ghana boxing. Because here I am, I find myself as a licensee of the authority. I find myself as a boxing journalist, one who has contributed greatly, okay? Covered camps of world champions, gone down to the ground, done a lot of stuff on, you know, done documentaries, done stuff on inadequacies of the sport, both at the professional and the amateur level. And so when we come to the table and we're having conversations about what has gone wrong, we know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So granted, you were not invited. I was not invited. This person was not invited. These people, by their activity, could be of a certain level of help to the process. What happened to writing a letter and presenting yourself or suggesting that you want to help the work of the committee, so you'd be grateful if you are given an invitation to come and contribute? What happened to that? What happened to that very simple administrative process of offering yourself and offering the information rather than sit back and expect the committee to invite to come and speak? Guys, nuts. If I've said something that you disagree with, maybe you should all come and, you know, but this is where I want us to just look. This is the angle from where I want all of us to look at this.
It's a fair one. It's a fair one. We can't continue on that.
I know.
I wanted you to. I mean, that point that you made, very well established. You know, that kind of rhetoric, as you pointed out, is not healthy in our attempt to develop and help develop the game. But you indicated something very serious, and I'm glad that you pointed it out, that we are here because somebody died. He's got a family. The whole importance and significance of the exercise of the committee is to ensure that we uncover what lapses led to what happened, and then we put together necessary preventive measures to ensure that this doesn't repeat. Now, going by that, what are your thoughts on some of the recommendations of the committee? Now, I have established that the committee has recommended the disbandment of the GBA, and they want an interim body installed to run Ghana professional boxing until such a time when they feel that the system has been cleansed of some of the inadequacies. What are your thoughts on some of those recommendations, and what are your thoughts on even the sports ministry that has received this, but we haven't seen any immediate action while the body of the Nigerian is still here in Accra?
Thank you. Fento, it would interest all our listeners and our viewers to note that no financial requests were made to the sports ministry before our body came out to talk about financial inadequacies. The sports and recreation minister will be my guest on the Joy Sports Link tomorrow, and he will lay some of the issues bare. A suggestion by the committee to disband the current Ghana Boxing Authority executive and set up an interim body is not out of place. And I'll jump out of the boxing ring and go onto the football field and refer to some of our clubs, especially Kumasi Asante Kotoko, who work under the live patronage of Otumfuo Osei-Tutu II, the king of the Ashanti Kingdom. Anytime he is unhappy with the way things are going, he cracks the whip. And sometimes it affects the whole management of the club. And sometimes interim bodies are put in place. As we speak, if I'm not mistaken, we have an interim body in place running Kumasi Asante Kotoko. It is not to cast dirt on anybody. It is not to cast a dirt on the credibility of anybody or put a dent in the credibility of any persons who have served. All that everybody is acknowledging, or all that authority is acknowledging, is that something has gone wrong. And based on that, we need to take another path in trying to arrive at a solution. Therefore, this recommendation, harsh as it may sound, tough as it may sound, is not out of place. Because as we speak, allegations have been made beyond the death of this boxer. There are issues that we will deal with when we go eventually to our elective Congress middle of next month. And I know this is not the platform for it, so I won't go too much into the details. But I can tell you for a fact that there are quite a number of the constituent bodies of the Ghana Boxing Authority who have raised a whole lot of issues. One of them is that by our constitution, we are required, and when I say we, the body of the Ghana Boxing Authority, are required to have and put together an annual general meeting in the month of May of every year, or any other date that is decided by Congress. The problem that we have as a body now is that since the elective Congress that brought the Abraham Kota Inikwe administration into office, we have not had an annual general meeting. So that, for starters, is a serious breach of the same constitution that took us to Congress, got us to go through the elective processes, and elect the current executive into place. I am looking forward to a time when the current executive and its leadership will answer to the body why this had to happen. Now, remember that there is also a requirement in organizing the AGM, and that is the provision of audited accounts 8 weeks ahead of time. We are in the month of June, and we have gone past May very, very obviously. But now, the process that can get us to have an AGM outside of the month of May is Congress. Where is Congress?
Where is Congress? Congress, somebody in pocket.
So you see, I want our friends and our brothers to, and I, like I mentioned, I had a lengthy conversation with the president of the Ghana Boxing Authority, and I've told him that what happened a couple of weeks ago with their communications director and all the things I did, and if any such occurs and I'm pushed to that level, I will do it again, because it is a pure matter of principle.
It is. Now, and hold on, hold your horses again, for me.
Finally, Fentu.
Okay.
It is very important to once again state that nobody is on a witch hunt. It is rather unfortunate that we find ourselves, after organizing, the elective Congress that brought in the Peter Zwenes administration, smooth. The next Congress that got him re-elected, smooth. The next Congress, which was the one that elected Abraham Kota Inikwe, very, very smooth as well. And so, it is my expectations and my hope that with all of these things that we're discussing and all of that, we will be able to find a middle ground, and we wouldn't have any Congress that will get Ghana talking in a negative way about Ghana boxing. Because guess what? On June the 13th, which is a couple of days from now, we have a very big bout to look forward to and to promote that will put Ghana on the international map, because you have an American involved. He's collaborating with Sharaf Mohammed's Legacy Rise Sports together with DAZN. What other platforms, would anybody else be looking for but something like this? And here we are talking about processes and what has been done wrong and what has not been done right. So
it is
very important that we note that the ministry definitely is going to take action. That one I'm saying to you on authority.
Yeah,
some measures will be taken. I do not know what exactly they will do, but I'm very sure that in the coming week, some key measures will be taken, and we will see ourselves move forward from here.
Absolutely not. Brilliantly done. The GBA released a statement yesterday saying that they're almost done with the final step in the process leading to the repatriation of the body of Gabriel Olusegun Olorawanju. He died on the 29th of March, of course, as we know. According to the GBA president, Abraham Kota Inikwe, he's been able to obtain certain documents and some certificates that are necessary to ensure a safe repatriation, and that he's planning on even flying the body. They had contemplated taking the body there by bus. They contacted a company that had said it would charge them, I think, $25,000 or $35,000, something like that. But now they are considering flying the body. So there's a whole other matter there with regard to the processes that have stalled the transportation of his body back to his family so they can bury him and mourn him in peace. Achita Maklo is also joining us on Zoom. He's on his way to Takoradi. Nana, where are you now? Are you in a bus? Because I know you've been following this issue. You want to comment on it. Where are you exactly?
Just after Kasua.
Ah, you just left. That again, tell him something.
This guy is a problem.
Ah, he said he was going yesterday and he's now at Kasua.
This guy is a serious problem.
Oh, Charlie, Achu, every day you bring yourself. You told me yesterday that you were leaving yesterday. And you are now in Kasua. And the Takoradi is over on the
nose. Shock.
We record our conversation this morning. Our WhatsApp conversation. And I'll post it to all the guys to see that you are the one who's lying.
No, Hala. Look, talk to me about some of the things you picked up on this matter. Where are we heading now as far as this case is concerned?
I think the axe will fall, as Max rightly indicated, because the scale of what the committee has uncovered is not something you can simply overlook. I mean, clearly, there are credibility and integrity issues, right? Because quite apart from what Max mentioned, the authority not holding its annual AGM, it also has not been able to renew its operating license for the year. But they have held vows, they have certified vows. And so without that license, where lies the integrity of that certification that they have been issuing for the respective vows that they have been sanctioned? Most of the points, I was hoping that when Amin Lamte had the opportunity, he would be speaking to the issues in the committee's reports, right? To offer the position of the authority and tell the public what exactly they have done. Because, for example, one of the damning findings of the committee has to be the issue of the questionable medical infrastructure that they have got and the fact that there is none at all. You know, if there had been one in place, there should have been the mandatory pre-boxing medical assessment for the spouse. It didn't happen, right? And for the uninitiated, these assessments usually will include a physical examination, the neuro test, heart and fitness test, and then the vision test. So in this case, if there were any underlying issues that made him susceptible to a cardiac arrest that he suffered, they would have been identified during the pre-bout mandatory medical assessment, right? Because then it would have been a thorough exam that would have flagged any of those issues. And immediately one of those issues is flagged, that mouse would have been called off and his certificate would have been withdrawn. But it didn't happen. The committee also has established that, in fact, the GBA's entire emergency response is just made up of one nurse who is parading as a medical doctor. One nurse. That is what the GBA has got. Now, I find it problematic that the GBA is not minded to respond to some of these things and tell Ghanaians and tell the boxing community, tell the matchmakers, tell the promoters that we actually have the infrastructure in place and explain the disparity between what the committee has found and their position on this matter. The other issues that I have picked up is that since 2022, the GBA has not had a medical doctor in its employ. Not one. How is that possible? More to the point, some of the promoters and matchmakers that the committee spoke to told the committee that they sometimes are required to pay for the services of a medical doctor, right, as a ringside physician for the miles that the GBA sanctions. The GBA collects the money, issues receipts. Yes. There is no ringside position for them, apart from the nurse who has been parading as a medical doctor. So there needs to be an answer from the GBA on where these monies go to.
and why the Chiefs are raiding someone who is clearly not a medical doctor to be about. And here's the thing. The committee took testimony from the GBA president, Kotemi Kenso. They took testimony from current board members, including Kaloko. They took testimony from matchmakers, from promoters as well. So, as far as the organization of Bouts is concerned, and I think this is one aspect of the investigation that people need to understand, they needed to go beyond the people who were involved in this Bout just to get a clearer understanding of how Bouts are organized and the specific context, right, if they are consistent with the legal framework that exists. Because, and as we have painfully come to learn, this framework is necessary, not just for good standards, but also for the protection of human lives. Because if the mandatory pre-Bout medical assessments had been undertaken, we clearly would have found out that this young man has cardiac issues and should not be allowed to step into
it. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But it did not happen. So there is that. Then there is also the issue of which of the individuals at the Ghana Boxing Authority, which individuals have looked on for this to happen among the matchmakers, the promoters, even the boxers and all of that. How many of such bouts have we had in the last few years since Kotelipe became the GBA president? That's why I agree with the committee's recommendation that, yes, the authority needs to go, the leadership needs to go, but first, there needs to be a proper organizational audit and a finance audit to get a forensic understanding of the organizational culture they have there, some of the management practices that have led us here, which individuals are responsible for that. And like every rotten system, this broken system at the JB benefits people, and those people will fight tooth and nail to keep it in place. So if you do an audit, you are able to put names to certain practices, decision makers and all of that, so that going forward, when you clean house, those people cannot be part of the new system that you are creating. Because if you do not do that, you end up having a situation where Kotelipe takes the fall, or Mohamed Amin Lamte takes the fall, but their collaborators will still be part of the whole process.
Absolutely.
Final point of this, I think the sports minister has, the sports and education minister have been too laid back on this matter. It's been almost 2 weeks since the committee presented their recommendations to them. Yes, we know that the acts will fall. I understand that Kotelipe himself has started getting people to go and beg on his behalf. But people need to see that the governance structure works, right? And hopefully, I'm hoping if NAS is listening tomorrow, the sports minister will be able to tell us what the consequence is for the GBA not renewing its license up until now. And what happens to all of those bouts that they have sanctioned, they have issued certificates for, when they themselves are not licensed body to be issuing out those certificates? What happens then? There needs to be clarity on that as well.
Yeah, yeah. And the license you're talking about is with the NSA, because the NSA, it's the body that regulates all sporting federations in Ghana, and all of them need to constantly renew their licenses, present audited accounts, and make sure that they are functional bodies and members of the National Sports or under the National Sports Authority. Thank you very much, Victor Achutamaklo. It's 1 minute past 2 p.m. in the studio here at Kokomlimli, Accra. This is Game Plan on 99.7 Joy FM, Social Life on Hits 103.9 FM. We're streaming around the world on YouTube on the Joy FM handle, as well as on X Spaces. Godfred Akoto Boafo, aka Yuku Man, has also Yukus has been in, he's taking pictures with famous people. Yesterday, he went to golf course. Instead of golfing, he was there taking selfies with J.R. Smith and all these people.
And superstar!
Yuku, how you doing, my brother? I think you are muted, though. Kindly check. I don't know, I can't hear him. Are you muted now?
Yes.
Perfect. Yes.
Fantastic.
But why you look very good, but remove Danike from this conversation. This conversation cannot be had with Danike.
Because he's about to get eaten.
I have this conversation with Danike. No.
I have missed this.
Oh God, it's about to get eaten, man.
But Lord knows I have missed this.
It's a pleasure to be on the Game Plan today.
Yeah. It's your first time. ever on the show. So it's amazing to have you. It's a pleasure to have you. Just hang in there. So Sicho, Daniel, and Yuku are the men today for our big debate, the Ballon d'Or. Dembouz or Lamy, or should he go to Kylian? We've got an interesting conversation to come on the show. What I'm going to do now, though, is take a very short break. So do hang on. We'll be right back. With over 100 stations nationwide, we continue to deliver the quality fuels and lubricants you depend on. We remain committed to energizing your dreams, fueling your progress, and powering Ghana's growth. Our tagline says it all. Petrosol, energizing dreams. It's not just a slogan. It's our enduring commitment to you. So visit any of our over 100 stations across Ghana and experience Petrosol difference. Quality, you can trust, service, you can rely on. Petrosol Platinum Energy, still energizing your dreams today and always. And here at Joy FM, we are doing a Father's Day celebration. Father's Day is coming up. So Joy FM, Joy Prime, and Hits FM proudly present My Father, My Hero. And you could walk away with some fabrics from Woodin, classy watches from for your dad as well, or a weekend stay at a plush hotel, or even some refreshing products from Vitamilk. This is what you need to do. Okay, this year we are inviting you to step away from the daily grind and treat your dads like the heroes they are. Send a message to us on 055-111-1997 or record a 30-second audio clip commending your dad. Tell us the heroic things he's done for you and share with us via WhatsApp on 055-111-997. We'll play your clips on air and select five top entries to win exquisite fabrics from Woodin, a weekend stay at Lancaster Accra Hotel, some goodies from Vitamilk, classy watches from Caveman, and a weekend stay at La Palm Beach Hotel, and so many more. My Father, My Hero is brought to you by Woodin, Achimota Retail Center, Lancaster Accra Hotel, Caveman, Vitamilk, La Palm Royal Beach Hotel, Akona Ginger, and Legacy Crop Improvement Center. And you can also elevate your business with the AME Africa Expo. It is back. It's bigger, bolder, and better. This is your official invitation to be part of the second edition of the AME Africa Expo, happening on June 19 to June 22 at the Accra International Conference Center. After a blockbuster debut with over 10,000 plus attendees, 100 plus exhibitors, and 20 plus industries represented, this year we are turning it up a notch. Whether you are in automotive, fashion, tech, real estate, health, finance, agribusiness, travel, lifestyle, or anything in between, this is your platform for visibility, networking, strategic partnerships, and media exposure that matters. Don't miss out. You can register now at ameafrica.com or call 020-201-8870 for more information. AME Africa Expo 2025. Show up, stand up, and scale up, of course. So it's 11 past 2 p.m. Let's come back to the studio with my guest in here, Danny K, Godfrey Akotobuafo, and Sicho Flavor Stream. Yuku, last night, Lamine Yamal, man, I don't know how, I mean, perhaps the only person close to him at that age was you yourself, you know? in terms of skill level, because this kid simply does not respect, oh my God. And after you tweeted that that Ballon d'Or, they should hand it to Lamine Yamal. Like, no. Danny K says, for the way, he shouldn't even be in the top three. And Sicho says, the booze all the way. Listen, it's going to be interesting. I want to start with Danny K, yeah? You could come to you. Listen to all the nonsense he has to say. Then you come and destroy him. He says,
I beg you.
He says, Lamine Yamal should not even be in the top three. But Kylian Mbappe should be. Why? Didi.
Fenton, how can you be the best player in the world when you are not the best player in your team?
Oh, it can happen.
It happened
with your friend is saying, with Modric. He wasn't the best player at Madrid, but he was the best player in the world.
Yeah, robbed.
Oh, okay.
Robbed. That was a rigged Ballon d'Or. A rigged Ballon d'Or.
Even that he was the best player for Croatia.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Tell him.
That year. So at least he was the best player in his team.
At least he was the best player somewhere.
Was the best player in the team. But yeah.
Is Lamine not the best player?
Lamine is not the best player in Spain.
Who is?
It was Rodri. The last time in here,
it's Rodri. For international if Rodri is not there, there's Pedri.
Rodri, no, you are talking about this. This year,
the,
is Rodri.
The ball you've been watching them play, the football you've been watching. You see, let me tell you something, eh? This football thing, eh? And I know Godfrey's argument. He will come and tell you it's all about the eye test and what we see. But see, the eye test will always agree with the numbers. Okay. There's no good player who has played very good football that when you look at the numbers, the two don't marry. Lamine is good. Lamine is really good. When you look at the numbers also tell you Lamine is really good. But you see, the Ballon d'Or is not about who is good. It's about who is the best. And that's where you have to bring in the comparative analysis. Look, well, you might be good at dribbling, but dribbling is not the only thing that makes football football. Okay? Dembele has been dribbling his entire career, but we're all frustrated. It is a means to an end. So this season, when he started adding the numbers that matter, the chances created, the goals, the assists, then Sito is today now telling us that Dembele should be the best player in the world, should win the Ballon d'Or. As for the skill, he has always had it. He has always had the pace. Dembele, one-on-one situations. We've always known that he has the ability to get past players. So that thing is a means to an end. You can dribble past the player, but what do you do with the ball?
Mm-hmm.
There are some people who don't even possess the skill of dribbling, but they can produce the numbers regardless. Look at Barcelona this season.
Mm-hmm.
See, the most exciting player to watch for most of the masses will be Lamine.
Yes.
Because when he gets the ball, But the most important player and the best player in that Barcelona team by far,
this season,
by far, Rafinha. Look, it's not even close. Oh, by far, Rafinha.
What are you using to measure the distance that you say is far?
Oh, then we are getting to the.
Okay, I'm listening.
You see, as I said, it's a means to an end.
Yes.
And the numbers will always tell you.
Should only the person at the end be getting the credit? It's not what only about the ones creating the means?
No, I'm getting there.
Okay, I'm listening.
Goals.
Okay.
Rafinha. By far better than Lamine Yamal. And then they'll come and tell you that, oh, Lamine, where he plays, he doesn't. If I tell you that Lamine has taken more shots in and outside the box than Rafinha, will you believe me? You will
he
not
does
believe.
Shoot a lot.
He shoots plenty. Nenano Enye, he doesn't know pool. That's the only thing. He shoots plenty. He just doesn't know how to score goal. Then they'll come and tell you that Lamine is not the kind of player. He doesn't shoot a lot. He doesn't get goal mouth acts. Rafinha is just damn prolific. That's full stop. Lamine has taken more shots, yet Rafinha has more goals. Rafinha has created more chances. Rafinha has more assists. And I'm talking about all competitions.
Right.
Look, what Rafinha
has. The same team.
And they play in the same team. And Rafinha has had to play out of position this season to accommodate Lamine Yamal. Rafinha's favorite side is on the right.
Where
Lamine plays. So he's been playing out of position.
And the crowd pony.
And bugger! Rafinha is the by far better than Lamine in this Barcelona team this season.
In fact, he had just been named La Liga Player of the Season.
A shock! That one saved some way. But Pedri then also comes in. What Pedri does and his importance to this Barcelona team, if you remove Pedri, Lamine Yamal, he can't function. If you remove Pedri from this team, Lamine can't function. Lamine is just nice to watch. And because he's young, a lot of people are in awe. But you see, me, when it comes to age and ability, especially in football, I don't see anything new. Boga, at the Kai Javier Saviola, I remember Bojan Kekic.
Yes.
Hey, in the next 5 years, imagine, it never happened. Was it not a few years ago we were talking about Ansu Fati? Yeah. Oh, if you give him 2 years, he's going to be a. Where is he now? There are no guarantees in football. There are some people who are early bloomers. There are some people who are late bloomers. It's about your time. When you're on top, you're on top. Whether you are balling it at 17 doesn't mean when you are 25, you'll be on the same level. We all saw Dele Alli. We're all projecting. Today, where is he? So What you do now is what I'll judge you on. I'll not judge you on how old you are and what that I don't
so
care.
So you have spent 5 minutes destroying Lamine Yamal.
I've not even finished.
You have not finished destroying him.
Oh, but I've not.
You haven't even told us who you think deserves it. You've only told us why Lamine doesn't deserve.
No. You see, everybody has their tactics. I can mention my player and tell you why I think he should win. I am telling
who
you
should win?
Why nobody else except my player should win. Look, when you look at the Champions League this season, if I tell you that Lamine also took more shots than Désiré Doué, yet when it comes to the numbers that matter, Désiré Doué was better. And that's the reason why the technical committee of UEFA selected Désiré Doué ahead of Lamine Yamal in what, the Young Player of the Year.
Yes.
People thought it was, but it's a technical committee. They are not fans who.
Yes.
It's a technical committee that votes.
With technical
eyes. With technical eyes. And they say, this Désiré Doué boy. Mm. It's not hype. It's not, hey, give him the Ballon d'Or. It's not interview. See, then they'll come and ask you the question. Don't you think Lamine Yamal, leading questions, who? Oh, don't you think Lamine Yamal is the best player in the world? Then you say yes. Then they'll come and say, this person says Lamine Yamal is the best player. It's not hype. It's not PR. They use their technical eyes.
Yes.
And they are telling us that in this season's Champions League, the Young Player of the Year is Désiré Doué is even better. If you can't even in your own age category, you are not the best. How can you be the best player in the world? Then you go to the Rafinha I'm talking about. And also, no lie. Because this season is the whole, we are talking club international football. If you go and look at Brazil,
Brazil.
In their qualifiers, in his own national team, he's not even the guy over there.
Nkoye!
Where the Nkoye, man? Nkoye! So, Rafinha's form has been lopsided.
Right.
You get
only
me?
At Barca.
Only at Barca.
Ballon d'Or shouldn't be.
Some way.
Yeah.
Ousmane Dembele.
The Moose.
He's my guy.
Right.
You know the ask for Ousmane. Yeah, I love
you
the
like
boy.
The
I love the guy. This season, he's been brilliant.
Yes.
Look, treble.
Yes. But
when it comes to the national team also, and we saw it last night, he looked like an ordinary player. You see, when you've come off a treble winning campaign, your first match after the treble winning campaign, you are primed to win Ballon d'Or. Show us something.
That's right.
You need to show us a certain arrogance. Show us why you should win. And this is the first game after the Champions League final. Semi-final UEFA Nations League. Again, they say repeat of the Euro semi-final. The same team that prevented you from winning the Euros. You have an opportunity against Kukureya. Kukureya is standing in front of you. You can't do anything about it.
I know. The French team crossed some way.
Some way.
Because Kylian Mbappe too was there.
He was there. He showed something.
He showed what?
You see?
Hey, he showed what?
Now let me tell you about Mbappe. First of all,
is
this,
the
is,
one
an,
you think should
this
win?
Is an individual.
Oh, is he the one you think should win?
Oh, relax.
You just said.
I'm concluding.
Okay, go on.
This is an individual award.
Right.
So may I always say that we compare the individuals, and that's what the Ballon d'Or used to be. Mm-hmm. We compare the individuals. Mm-hmm. When the individual abilities are so close, when what they've done throughout the season are so close, then we extend it to what the teams have won. And that this recent, what have you won? Oh, this person won the Champions, this person won the league. He only started Messi, Ronaldo and era. Because they were matching each other season after season. So then we had to extend it to what have you won. Previously, it wasn't like that.
What your club won wasn't important.
It wasn't really important because the best player in the world was clearly the best player in the world. If you look at what Mbappe has done in this Real Madrid team that doesn't have balance, we all could see from the start of the season that team we engage. His first season struggled in court.
Record numbers.
Oh. 31 goals in his first season in La Liga. 31
even
goals.
Ronaldo didn't get
even Ronaldo didn't get 31
in
goals.
His first season.
He sent France to a Nations League semi-final. Mm-hmm. If not for the baller coach, like he would have been in the final.
Now you are making excuses for him, my friend.
Ah, but yesterday we saw that he was by far their best player until Sheki came on. If Sheki had started with him, like quick hat trick. Even in the bad times this season for Real Madrid, look, 16-7 aggregate score against Barcelona this season. Mbappe scored 6 out of Madrid's 7 goals. So that was a player who was consistent, even though his team
wasn't doing what? As it's an individual award, if you pick Mbappe this season, you pick the single Mbappe, if you pick him, the Man City game, hat-trick, when he mattered. He did his part, though. It's not his fault that Real Madrid signed. It's not his fault. But he was there. It's not his fault that Real Madrid...
He did his part. Yes.
He scored a hat-trick. What should he do again? Is it his fault that his defenders have signed? Is it his fault that his coaches have signed? Is it his fault that his team doesn't have balance? You bought him to do a job. And he's done the job better than anybody else in the league. Top player. But... because where we are today, what you weigh matters. That's why Vitinha is clear. Vitinha is the clear winner.
Hey, Daddy K, hold on.
Vitinha, the Portuguese maestro Vitinha.
Vitinha's one at all.
Oh, it's clear. Look, PSG's revival. PSG's revival this season started with Vitinha. You could all see.
It's okay.
Instrumental it's okay. in winning the league, Champions League,
it's
the
okay,
cup.
It's okay.
And he sent, if you watch
Vitinha,
as soon as Vitinha landed on the pitch in the Nations League, game changes, Portugal are in the final. And they're on the verge of winning.
It's okay.
Can you now tell me that if you give Ballon d'Or to Rodri, if you give Ballon d'Or to Rodri, you will not give it to Vitinha? He's the clear winner of this Ballon d'Or.
Yuku, are you listening to that again? This guy.
I am so sad I mentioned Danny Gay.
Because you are seeing exactly your own image in him.
I used to see my exact image in him until 10 minutes ago.
Clear winner.
For my favorite pupil, he has disappointed me this afternoon.
Listen to what Mickey Charles just sent me a message. He said, Charlie, the MPP needs that he came to win the 2028 elections.
He can whitewash with the best.
But let's go. Okay. Listen, yes.
Oh, clear winner.
But
you could love me, Yama.
Okay, so I'll make this quick. Okay, I think if you look at the Ballon d'Or and the face, I think it's an award that has been through faces. Mm-hmm. And I do agree with one point that Danique makes, that Ronaldo and Messi changed the nature of the awards.
Right.
I think that they turned it from being one of pure artistry into one of pure number crunching.
Mm-hmm.
Because it got to a time it was very difficult to just figure out who was the better amongst the two.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Ballon d'Or goes through those phases maybe every decade or so. So we've gone through a period where the Ballon d'Or was won by pure artists.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone through the period where it was just won by pure numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give you a typical example. Between the year 1998 and 2001,
mm-hmm.
if we were doing this, having this argument, Mario Jardel will win 3 Ballon d'Ors.
Right.
Mario Jardel is perhaps, within those 3 years, scored 129 goals in 125 matches for FC Porto.
Mm-hmm.
In those 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
129 in 125.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
European Golden Boot winner. He's going to tell me about that. That's what he did.
Don't mind. He's here throwing his arm. Don't mind. You continue.
So I'm just saying, if you want to make it a pure numbers game, I'm just saying, there's a reason why Jardel with those incredible, because the numbers married in 98-99. Between 98 and 2001, Ronaldo and Messi were not the standards. Mario Jardel's numbers were numbers that had not been seen before. You understand? So they were the standard numbers. Messi and Ronaldo have changed that dynamic. But the point I'm making is, if we're having that conversation then, but during that period, it was the artists who were winning.
Yes.
We seem, in my estimation, I am happy we seem, and I will tell you that my bias has always been towards the artist rather than the number crunches. Mm-hmm. I prefer artists.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like the award is coming back home.
in my estimation, towards the era of the artist. Ousmane Dembele is an artist of the purest form. Lamine Yamal, artist of the purest form. I'm happy he mentioned Vitinha. He's an artist. Pedri, artist. Even Kylian Mbappe is a mixture of the artist and the numbers, because Kylian Mbappe can do some absolutely incredible things when he's in the mood.
Right.
So I am happy we are and last season, Rodri won. Rodri's an artist.
Yes.
So a lot of people, for instance, and I think
Rodri, I'll come here.
The art of
Rodri against Vinicius Junior. That one, they are telling me Rodri was an artist against artists.
No, but you haven't listened. You haven't listened.
Allow you could to flow. You could go on.
I have spoken about the artist, which is why I said is why last season Rodri coming in was a bit of a shock, because everybody expected a continuation of Messi, Ronaldo style, which is Vinicius.
Right.
He is the heir apparent to what Messi and Ronaldo had been giving us for the past 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Vinicius looked like the ultimate heir. So, hence the confusion from last season, because they're like, this is what we've been giving the award for the past 15 years. This guy comes along and replicates it. Now you are saying we should give it to the guy who just played good football. No. Let the numbers count.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the nominees this year again, we have a fine mix of the artist and the numbers. Mm-hmm. Now, to the case that is going to be made, I'll take Ousmane Dembele. I think he's a good candidate. Okay. Mm-hmm. But here's my thing. Would Paris Saint-Germain have won the league without Ousmane Dembele? Yes. Nobody there can tell me that Paris Saint-Germain were not going to win the French league without Ousmane Dembele and his numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Ousmane Dembele had an incredible season. I'm looking at the advanced metrics. You people like the numbers. He outperformed his XG by plus 13.
That's a lot.
That's a significant amount.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's an incredible overperformance of his XG.
Mm-hmm.
I admit to the... And that changed because of that tactical tweak that was made by Luis Enrique. His position changed.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, his XG would have been normal if he had stayed in his original position, which is why his XG was where it was, because he was expected to play in a certain part of the park where he would contribute something. Luis Enrique making that change in January, which is where everybody forgets the change took place, because again, I am looking at his numbers, for those who like, because people like numbers. In 2025, he played 27 matches. He scored 26. That means his explosion happened in the second half of the season. Yeah. So a lot of people who say that, Ousmane Dembele has been doing this all season. Ousmane Dembele caught fire in the second half of the season.
True.
And the numbers don't deny it. Okay? What he has been able to do is to do so consistently. He's found a net in 17 of the 27 games he's played in 2025, second half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
What was he doing in the first half? Something changed. It was Luis Enrique who changed what Paris Saint-Germain were doing. And suddenly he took off. So people say, recency bias with Yamin. And I say, recency bias with Ousmane Dembele. Because people forget that from September to we're playing football.
He was sleeping.
What was he doing September to December? What was he doing in September to December?
He was sleeping.
The point again is made again for what he's done in the Champions League, which again, the numbers look at his red hot second half of the season. Again, based on the changes that Luis Enrique made, not that suddenly he had become a better footballer. Mm-hmm. The system simply optimized his skill sets. If we revert Ousmane Dembele to the position that he normally plays, we would be having the same conversation we've had about Ousmane Dembele for the past 2 years. We know exactly what Ousmane Dembele has been for the past 7 years. Ousmane Dembele is not a new player. He's been around since he was 17. He's been an international figure since he was 17 years old. He's 25 or 26 now. Correct me.
Yes.
So that is the case for Ousmane Dembele and his incredible season. I think that if you look at what Paris Saint-Germain did in the Champions League, I think Ousmane Dembele takes solace in the team rather than his individual effort.
Mm-hmm.
Ousmane Dembele is a beneficiary of what Luis Enrique did to the system, which is fine, but also takes credit for what João Neves, for what Nuno Mendes, for what Achraf Hakimi. I've never seen a Ballon d'Or winner with so much help.
So he's hiding behind team success. The team success is what is pushing his agenda.
There is so much help behind him, which is what strengthens the case of Kylian Mbappe, who this season did not have help. Kylian Mbappe has single-handedly carried Real Madrid. So I'm making the case for Kylian Mbappe then, with his incredible numbers. Because Vinicius this season didn't show up. Rodri has been dead the entire season. Jude Bellingham has struggled in the system again. You see, last season, everybody spoke about Jude Bellingham. The system changed this season to accommodate Kylian Mbappe. Have we seen Jude Bellingham? No. I'm saying if you are the best player in the world, wherever it is you are on the park, we will see it. When you touch the ball, we will see it. What you do with the ball, we will see it. We do not, when you are the best player in the world, your output does not decline in half simply because your position has changed.
Or that your team hasn't achieved.
I'm saying if you have it, you have it. If you have it, you have it.
And Lamine has it.
You have an off season. If you have it, you have it. I'm coming. Okay. The biggest, the player who has lost the most in this, Mohamed Salah. Because in Dembouzi's second half rise and the glamour of the Champions League, as soon as Liverpool went out, psychologically, a lot of people locked out Mo Salah in spite of the incredible season. Look, if this award were being given in April, Mo Salah would have won the Ballon d'Or unanimously. It would have been near unanimous if we were giving out this award in April. 1st April, not 2nd April, 1st April. But what happened? Between April 13th and May 19th, Mo Salah scored just one goal.
Yeah.
So within that period, everybody suddenly forgot that Mo Salah had simply been the most dominant footballer we have ever seen in a long time. Breaking goals and assist records in the Premier League. So in all this, I think that the player who should even be the most peeved by this whole debate is Mohamed Salah. Then we come to Rafinha. I like Rafinha, but come on, Rafinha is flat. Rafinha's dad did an incredible goal contribution that I don't think personally he will repeat. Again, we've seen Rafinha. We've seen Rafinha at Rennes. We've seen Rafinha at Leeds. Danny Kaye tries to hide behind the concept of the late developer. Rafinha is not a late developer. Rafinha is just being Rafinha in an efficient system.
Another beneficiary of the system.
That is all. Rafinha has benefited again from another artist that you mentioned about, who legitimately has also been lost in this argument. Pedri. So, in all this, you say I look at Rafinha's 50 goal contribution, record setting and all, but I ask myself, does it really wake me up? No, it doesn't. I tell you who wakes me up though, Lamine Yamal.
Lamine!
He wakes me up 24/7. And my personal bias is born out of, I am a student of our game, okay? And I grew up, and again, I'm saying this is a personal bias. I grew up loving the stories of the people who changed our game, the generational talents. I don't know if Yamin, and Danike again makes a fair point. We've seen players who peter out early. But are we saying Ansu Fati's first two seasons is what we've seen Lamine Yamal doing? Come on. It's a lie. Boyan Kekic's first two seasons, come on, it's a lie. The audience know what they are watching.
Yes.
And the audience know that they are looking at something they haven't seen perhaps since Ronaldinho was 15 years old.
Yes. And as for Lamine, he's not getting any help from his Barca teammates, huh?
No, he is getting help. I think that, you see, Lamine gets a significant amount of help like everybody else.
Yes.
But the thing is this. For those who like basketball, did you watch Lamine get double coverage, triple coverage on every single possession that he has? Yesterday, for instance, and yesterday is emblematic of every possession that he has faced this season. Since he broke through, everybody doubles up on Lamine. You, nobody does man-to-man marking. No team does man-to-man marking with Lamine Yamal. You cannot. That is why Danike was sitting there screaming. Yesterday, I saw Situ correctly saying that they should have played a three-man midfield of Kone. Situ, mention that your midfield for me. You said they should have played Kone and who?
Rabiot and then Tchouaméni.
Yes. Why do you think Situ was making? Because one of those three would shift to the left side.
Because yesterday wasn't a double up. If Theo Hernandez and Desiree Doué are in charge of marshalling defense, then nobody was there. No, he had open space. Theo Hernandez was a defender.
That is the point that he makes with that lineup. Because you would have one of your central midfielders shift to the left side to offer help. That is why he would play three of them. That is ultimately the job of a central defensive midfielder, to provide cover to the wide areas. It is not just in the central areas. When the ball shifts to a wide area, the central defensive midfielder shifts. He doesn't stay in the middle. He shifts. You've played the game. You should know. You see, that's why I told
you. You should know. You should. Danike, you should know.
Play the game. Danike,
Christ the King, Abedivele.
You see, so those are the things. Every time, look, when teams, coaches go to the dressing room. No, coaches don't go to the dressing room and plan for Ousmane Dembele. Coaches go to the dressing room and plan for Lamine Yamal.
That's right.
So Lamine Yamal's numbers are what they will be. He's a winger. But in terms of changing the game, in terms of being a generational talent, and I made the point, people might think it is inconsequential, but football thrives on talent that keeps the game going. That is what Messi and Ronaldo brought to the game. They kept the game going for 15 years. They built on the generational change that Ronaldinho brought to the game. Football was dead as a sport, financially, in every other avenue, until Ronaldinho came. He changed the game generationally. Lamine Yamal is the next player who is changing the name generationally. Ballon d'Or, hand it, September 22nd. Give it to the boy. Situ has gone to where ready to fight.
Yes, you could hold on for me. I'll come back to you to bring your conclusion thoughts on this. But it's time for me to go to Situ too and take his submission. Because you people have lambasted and maligned his favorite Dembouz. You say
it'd be
Luis Enrique, he changed something way, he started to wear. Now the first half, he was sleeping. Situ,
all the things they said fit into all the things they said fit into what I want to say. As for Rafinha, he's done well. Only PL, so backbench, only PL. See, the Ballon d'Or thing, you need a certain level of personality and some style, some aura. As for the aura, he doesn't have it. Unfortunately for him. So
aura nini na ya yama. Aura nini na ya yama.
But yeah, we don't know what I'm going to say. Look, the reason why Dembele is the Ballon d'Orist of Ballon d'Orist this season. No competition. No competition for Dembele is for everything that the two gentlemen have said. They said Ousmane Dembele started playing well in January up to this point. Now I'm trying to listen to this. From January up to this point, Ousmane Dembele started firing from January. Ousmane Dembele's fire from January have been so hot that it's burnt every other competitor in the Ballon d'Or conversation. Look, before Dembele started playing well, the entire PSG team wasn't playing well. Hey, Vitinha was playing. João Neves was playing. Everybody, Fabio Ruiz was playing. You know, Mensch, Hakimi. They were all playing.
We saw them in the group phase.
The entire treble winning team wasn't playing well. Until Dembele said, look, I've tried to allow you to do your thing. It's not working. So let me take charge. When the team was built around Dembele, when they made the team about Dembele, and Dembele had that free role false nine job, where he could come as a center back, go to left back, go to striker, be in the goalpost, and then he was the team. The fortunes of PSG automatically changed. And look, Godfrey keeps mentioning that Luis Enrique changed position and changed role. For me, any player who is intelligent enough to change his role mid-season, not pre-season, you know, he didn't train for it in pre-season, to be able to change his role mid-season and still be incredibly effective with it, is my guy. Mid-season, the coach says, look, let me tell you, he tried Lee Kahin or something, that guy, he tried him for there, no work. He tried Kolomwani for there. He tried Ramos for there. Mm-hmm. He tried Bakola for there. He tried Desiri Touré for there. Throughout the whole season, it didn't work. Then he said Dembele. Dembele said, coach, you are trying too many things. Allow me to do this job. Dembele has gone in. And you guys have mentioned it. Since January, since Dembele started being that guy for PSG, their fortunes changed. So for me, if you need a player who this season has single-handedly changed the fortunes of his team by the way he has played, nobody can convince me that it's not Ousmane Dembele. And the results are there. If you want goals, there. If you want trophies, there. If you want impact, there. Typical example is the way he played in the Champions League final. Dembele didn't score. He didn't even try to score. But you can't convince me that things were not running through him and around him. Like, if you watch, and Godfrey has played the game. That kind of game that you, the good boy, you won't score. But nothing good in the team will happen without them asking permission from you. So if Vitina wants to pass the ball to Doué, he asks Dembele, should I pass to him or I should come to you? Then Dembele will say, oh, go ahead, pass to Doué. I'll be here. So if Vitina, go for it, I'll stay in midfield for you. Look.
This guy, look,
Dembele, the boy Dembele is playing this season.
Look,
you cannot plan, and Godfrey said that coaches plan for Lamine Yamal, they don't plan for Dembele. It is true, you can easily plan for Lamine Yamal, but you can never plan for Dembele.
So you are saying that that's why the coaches don't bother to plan?
There's no solution for the Dembele role. Dembele is standing by his goalkeeper 1 minute, the next second. He's a left back. The other second, he's pushing Vitina for him in the midfield. How do you plan for such a player? You see, me, the Vitina conversation from Danny Kane, that one day, you are in the same team with the guy, PSG. The guy is the best player of the season. The guy, you played the Champions League. The guy won the player of the season in Champions League. What's the problem? And all of you are complaining about Dembele only playing once in January. What did Ronaldo of Brazil 2002 do in that whole 2002 season before he won the Ballon d'Or, if not for 7 games,
which is the most atrocious Ballon d'Or award ever given.
Matwadi, so no yawa. So if Ronaldo can win the Ballon d'Or in 2002, then Dembele's performance from January to this point is valid. Look, I love Lamine Yamal. He's a brilliant kid. Top three. It's not even my top three. Because even in that Barca team, the Oraless Rafinha is better than him.
I saw.
And Rafinha has been voted the player of the season in La Liga. Now, pause it there. Let's say that you are young, so your time will come. Hoga, when you make Desiré Doué in the same competition, Desiré Doué has been voted as your age mate. He's better than you.
I saw.
You give Desiré Doué is better than you in your age category. Why we don't also mention Desiré Doué for The Ballon d'Or.
Oh, they meet you for take Doué. They meet you, my agenda be Doué.
Yeah, you two finish that. If you feel like taking Doué, you go fit take him. As for Mbappe there, it be joke. Look, Real Madrid don't respect goals like that too. The goals have to come with something on the table. Senior, you've played in a season where there are titles for you to win. All you do is score and go and put your hand in your armpit. Nothing to show. You want to win Ballon d'Or. And you talk about Dembele's Mbappe's performance for France. Mbappe went missing for France. Mbappe stopped playing for France in the Nations League. Even in their quarterfinal game, he went missing. When Croatia beat them 2-0 and they were doing the comeback, guess who led the comeback? Guess.
The Bulls.
Guess who led that comeback?
The Bulls.
Mbappe was missing. The Bulls led it. And then if you say that Mohamed Salah was the best player until April, and that because he exited the Champions League, people forget that he was the best player to that point. Then why is it that people can't now accept that because Dembele started showing up in January, and won the Champions League that Salah lost, that he killed his chance of becoming the Ballon d'Or winner. Dembele has won it, and you're telling me that it's because of January to May. Oh yeah, the football, it is not how long you are playing well, mm-hmm. It is how effective you are playing the period that you've played. And for me, without Dembele, this PSG team will not function. This PSG team, that free roll force line that he's playing, without Dembele, it will not function. And the case says don't be true.
Don't mind it, don't mind it.
But we've seen it. We saw it this season. The second leg against Arsenal, one started. PSG was still balling. Do you know why? Because Vitinha was there. Vitinha was there.
You this guy.
The conductor, the orchestrator.
Forget that guy.
If Modric has won, Rodri has won. I'm telling me Vitinha doesn't deserve
it. That is okay. Sicho.
That is my time. Get away.
Sicho, I have an important person on the phone call, so you wrap up for me.
I'm killing it right now. I'm saying that without Dembele, of course, PSG will be sabba. Why are you using Arsenal as a yastick? Arsenal no more men of football. They have toppled all their lives in the last couple of
years. It'll be Champions League semi-final. It'll be Champions League semi-final.
Let's talk about Arsenal.
Don't interrupt. I need to go to the phone line.
Arsenal, the team they take them to example, say,
Sicho, please, forget the decay. Wrap up for me.
Forget Arsenal. Make a talk show to get Arsenal.
Wrap up for me. Let me go to the phone line.
So for me, this year, the Ballon d'Or is an event that is held in Paris, which is in France.
That's right.
And for the French footballer, Dembele, to have done what he's done with Paris Saint-Germain, won their first ever Champions League for them, and finished the season as the best player of the Champions
League.
Let's sign it.
Sicho, thank you very much. Listen, Mickey Charles says, after listening to Akoto and Sicho, I still think Danike convinces a lot of us.
Thank you.
This is why Atufosi needs Danike.
Thank you.
To convince Ghanaians to play the one Ghana.
Upe.
Yes.
How many minutes ago did you have the message? Fred, wait. How many minutes ago? Check the message.
Just now.
It means that Mickey Charles, he wasn't listening to me.
He's a serial caller. He said the message before you finished.
Look. Me, I don't talk finish. When the guy sent you the message,
yes, serial caller. Listen, let's go to the phone line now and speak to the Honorable Nilante Van der Poy. Who's joined us?
Honorable, what's up?
He says he's enjoying the conversation, but he's got a thing or two to say. Honorable, happy Eid Mubarak to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yes. Listen, Honorable, quick one. You've been listening. I'm sure you probably might have been smiling from ear to ear, listening to all the craziness. You also heard us talk about the boxing earlier. Quick one.
That's exactly what I want to.
You want to comment on that?
I was enjoying every bit of the program.
Thank you. We value your opinion on the boxing thing. So let's hear you.
Yeah, but before that, let me also say that I think that I will also side with those who want to vote for Lamine Yamal to the Ballon d'Or. Seriously, because I enjoy people who play beautiful football. Intelligent players. I have nothing against Dembele, but I think this young boy has done enough to convince every sports analyst to vote for him. What he's done within this short time from the Euros and then to Barcelona, you could see that at the time, but the Barcelona team was not clicking the way we expected. When we had people like Pedri and the rest injured, everything was him. Lewandowski was not present. He turned out players. He was able to make players like Ferran and the rest all become stars. So I think it will be an encouragement to him. But I also share those who think that Dembele deserves it. Dembele has gone through enough. He was touted as the next thing in world football. Things didn't turn out. Injuries and also patches of poor performance affected him. But all of a sudden, we've seen a revival in PSG. And it's monumental. I think any of them deserve it, but I will want to give my vote to Lamine Yamal.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah. So let me go to the issue of the boxing. You see, I thank God sometimes for such a thing to happen, even though it's unfortunate. It gives us opportunity to do a thorough diagnostic of our boxing, which some of us have talked about for long. We thought that the change in administration with Kota Nekwe was going to pave the way for restructuring of our boxing. Unfortunately, some of the things we talked about in the past still persist. And I like the analysis made by the one who started the journey to talk about it from yesterday and still on the way. You know, boxing demands a very thorough medical examination of boxers before they enter a fight. Because we are talking about a sport that could lead to death, as it happened the last time, unfortunate as it may be. Somebody could hurt his head, somebody could fall, a blow can turn somebody up. Even in football, where people head balls, they are talking about concussions, let alone somebody using all his energy to hit your head. So things like neuro analysis, concussion analysis, and all other things should be the ultimate interest of people who organize boxing fights.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I will not want to blame only the authority, but I'll blame all the stakeholders in the sport.
Mm-hmm.
They've taken their personal interests above the interests of boxers for far too long.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we know that some of our boxers come from vulnerable backgrounds, and as such, even the little that you want to give him for a fight, he'll want to take it, no matter the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes these boxers do not even think about the consequences, the medical outcomes of they going into a fight prepared or without the requisite medical and standard procedures.
Mm-hmm.
So it is incumbent that what has happened and the recommendations that the committee has made,
mm-hmm,
should make us have a surgery of our boxing and the management of our sport in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, this is going to be one of the many deaths that are going to occur in our ranks. Because some of the boxers themselves these days are not prepared physically, mentally, like the boxers we have in the past, because of lack of discipline. Physical discipline, tactical discipline, and personal discipline. They don't have it. Some of them engage in so many horrible things that are not expected of a boxer. So if the regime that will also determine whether this person is qualified to go into the ring is weak, then it spells danger for all of us.
It really does. Listen,
I think that what has happened, even though it's unfortunate, should be an eye-opener to us to take especially the medical examination aspect of our sport very, very seriously. And rigorous measures should be taken to ensure that before somebody signs up for a fight, he's gone through the necessary tests, the standard procedures that have been dictated and have been tested over the time and over period at all international fights, so that we can avoid risking the life and the future of our boxers.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I totally will support the minister in making sure that the recommendations that have been made by the committee are adhered to.
Thank you, Honorable. Thank you. We'll come to you for valuable insight you provided. We'll come to you to sit down. Have a proper diagnosis and a good conversation on this. But it's important that people like you have added your voices to this conversation, because this should spark the reform that we needed. And as you rightly put it, to avoid the recurrence of such an incident. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
That's the Honorable Nee Lante van der Poy, a football commentator, boxing commentator, veteran sports journalist, a former member of parliament, and a former minister for youth and sports. He would know exactly the issues in that industry, hence his contribution, highly valued, highly valuable. We have just about 2 minutes to wrap up, or maybe 1 minute to wrap up the conversation. It's been thoroughly enjoyable. Yuku, I've got a message for you from Sakatu, who is in Luton, and he says, I can listen to Godfrey talk football all day. What a guy. I perfectly agree with him. Pure footballing ability this season. No one comes close to Lamine. He's been absolutely brilliant this season. And for me, I agree with him. He should be winning the Ballon d'Or. Also, I can't wait to see Lamine versus Mendes this Sunday. Sakatu, thank you. Yuku, quick words, 30 seconds. Is Yuku there?
You see the way he said Dembele played only second half of the season to win the Ballon d'Or. That is how Francesco Conceição came in the second half of the game.
I have a quick shout out from our biggest fan in UAE, Abu Dhabi.
He's in the UAE.
UAE, Abu Dhabi. What does he say? Listening live.
What does he say?
Ebenezer Alotepapo. Ebenezer Alotepapo. We said Vitinha is by far the best player in the world this season. In fact, on Sunday, Vitinha, you will see.
He's lying. He manufactured the message. Prima for lawyer, big shout to you as well for tuning in. Sicho, Danny K, Yuku, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much
joining
us on the show. It's been a wonderful conversation.
Kopama said play ball pass la miya ma. Kopama,
come on for
that.
Come on for that. Come on for that. Thank you very much, everyone. Achita Maklo and Nathaniel Alto also join us a little early on the show. The show is partly brought to you by Betway and, of course, Petrosol. But remember, the Ghana Football Awards is back and it's coming up, of course, on the... that's the 7th edition. It's on the 14th of June. Joy Sport is a massive partner of the award. So we'll be bringing you all the latest news around that. It's on the 14th of June, which is next weekend. And it's at the Palms Convention Center. It will be amazing. Of course, proudly sponsored by NASCO, FCM Travel, Shell, Safari Valley Resort. The Ghana Football Awards is celebrating the stars of our passion. I hope you enjoy the holiday edition of Game Plan here on Joy FM and on Hits 103.9 FM. My name is Fentu, Tahiru Fentu. We'll see you again next Friday. Until then.